I'm on the screen. Okay, absolutely. And good morning to everybody. Good morning to those of you who are joining us streaming. Thank you for being here. So as Raymond mentioned, the flagship product and service that we have at Predictive Oncology is a product that we call PEDAL, P-E-D-A-L, PEDAL. And PEDAL is the combination of a very unique collection of tumor samples that, as Raymond mentioned earlier, have been accumulated over a large period of time. In addition to having the actual tumor samples, we also have data on these tumor cells and how they have interacted with different chemotherapeutic agents. So there is a great richness of tumor samples as well as data around these samples that can be used to facilitate and improve the way that drugs are going to be developed in the future. Raymond also mentioned that this biobank is the largest privately held biobank. You may hear that there is two million samples. This one actually, what we're talking about is actual tumor cells, which are very important and very difficult to come by when you're trying to develop a drug. So what does PEDAL do? PEDAL is the combination, as I said, of biobank with artificial intelligence, which is behind the little screen for those of you who are here. And what it allows us to do is to utilize a large number of samples that when you pair it with artificial intelligence is going to allow the partner, the biopharma, to be able to predict what are the drugs that they should be moving in development. This artificial intelligence is going to drive what wet lab experiments need to be done so that it is an efficient process. And in addition, this can be used not only for new drugs that are being developed, but also for drugs that have been developed for some reason have failed or have been deprioritized and can be repurposed because a lot of investment has been put behind those drugs. They can have very good toxicology, very good safety, you name it. And for some reason, they were not able to find the right application. And this product, the service can be used for that. So let me walk you a little bit as to what is happening right now. As Raymond mentioned, about 95% of drugs that go into clinical trials actually fail. So the beginning of this chart starts with phase one. So let's say that 5-8 years have happened before that. A lot of investment, a lot of time has gone into selecting a molecule, a group of molecules that are going to go into clinical trial, right? Everybody's very enthusiastic. A lot of money is put behind this. And only one of them is actually going to succeed. And pharma companies don't know exactly which one that is going to be or what is the indication that is going to be successful, right? So it's a numbers game to a certain extent. So one in 20 is actually going to be able to make it into a medicine that actually goes into patient 10 years, 8 years, whatever that cycle is, depends on the molecule and the company, right? So what happens if we are able to provide information to the pharmaceutical company that just doubles that? One in 10 molecules actually make it. So imagine that you start with the same number of molecules and you are actually going to be able to determine which ones should not be moved forward in development. So imagine that you are able to take information here at the end of this trial, at the end of that trial, the ones that did not work, and here at the end of the one that actually worked. Imagine if you could take that information of what did those patients actually look like? What did those tumors actually look like? Take that information all the way to the discovery process and be able to make better decisions so that you only select the ones that are most likely to succeed once you get them into the clinical trial. So imagine the finances for a pharmaceutical company. You can add whatever number. There's a lot of numbers up on statistics, 10 million, 50 million, 200 million. Imagine all of that money that is saved because you do not have to run all those trials. The flip side of that, or in addition to that, maybe you actually want to invest all of that money and with the same likelihood of success, you're able to develop two drugs. So not only is there a benefit to pharma because they have two compounds that are going to be able to be commercialized, and that's obviously a revenue stream, but that is also fantastic for us as a society because we have additional medicines that are going to be able to make it to patients faster. And why can we do this? Because we have a tumor collection that represents that diversity of the population that is not seen at this point in the discovery stages, right? Because the discovery stages are being done with maybe one or two human samples, maybe with an immortalized cell line that does not represent exactly the diversity of people that are going to be getting the medicine, and animal models. So, but if you are able to introduce that diversity of patients, if you're going to be able to see which drugs are going to make it when you get into a clinical setting that you're giving it to a dozen patients, 50 patients, 100 patients, and see which are the drugs that are going to be able to work in those patients, then you use that information to make better investment decisions, to make better scientific decisions. So let me show you in a schematic what this looks like from the proof of concept that we have done. So we did a proof of concept in which we took 175 drugs, FDA, already FDA approved drugs, and we took 130 ovarian tumor samples. These are 130 different patients that have had ovarian cancer. So if you line up on the x-axis the drugs and you line up all of the tumor samples on the x-axis, that would be the equivalent of doing about 23,000 combinations of experiments in the lab. That is absolutely time and cost prohibitive. Nobody's going to do that. We could do it because we actually have the samples. Nobody else has those tumor samples, but we could do it, but that would not be a good investment of time or money. So by pairing it with artificial intelligence and artificial intelligence driving which are those experiments that need to be done, we are able to efficiently give a prediction to our clients. And what does that look like? Artificial intelligence is going to make a prediction of every single possible combination. It is not going to be necessarily a high confidence prediction for all of them. So the ones that are the least confident on, it's going to drive that wet lab experiment that I mentioned about earlier. So we're going to do those few experiments in the laboratory, create that data, feed it into the system, and it's going to make a whole new set of predictions. And it goes through different rounds. It's an iterative process, and until it settles into a high confidence prediction. When we did the proof of concept, we were able to, of the 23,000 possible combinations or so, we only had to test about 3% of the space in the lab. So in about 4 months, I'm sorry, in about 3 months, about 12 weeks, we were able to do all of that experiment. So with 3% of the predictions, I'm sorry, with 3% of the space actually being tested in the lab, we were able to create 20% of really high confidence predictions for all of that space. So that is information that is used by the pharmaceutical companies to then decide which are the compounds that they're going to move further in development. So we did our proof of concept, and then we went back and we validated this. Is it really a drug that is actually going to show response in a specific tumor or not? Is a prediction of response truly a responder, and a prediction of no response actually not responder? And we went back and we tested that, and with 92% accuracy, the artificial intelligence, so this square here that you see that is white and orange, with 92% accuracy, those were correct. So imagine there was 20% of the space that was never tested. We never had to do those experiments. And with 92% accuracy, a pharmaceutical company can say, this is a molecule that works in enough samples that it is worth taking into a clinical trial further on. So if you think back of the addition of the previous slides that I was showing to you, imagine that you can actually increase the probability of success of those drugs that are going to go into clinical trial. What does that mean for the financials of a pharmaceutical company? What does that mean for society in being able to have drugs that actually work in patients, possibly at a faster rate, possibly at a cheaper, less expensive way to develop them, or bringing more drugs to market? So what are we doing as we are trying to reach out to pharmaceutical companies? This is going to disrupt the way that drug development is done, right? Drug development has been done the same way for, I don't know how long, for many decades, that there is a certain cadence that you are going to be testing them in the lab, you're going to be testing them in cell lines, you're going to be testing them in animal models, and then you're going to move into the clinic. What we are giving biopharma is the ability to bring those end results with where is the drug going to work and where is the drug not going to work. Is ovarian cancer the right indication? Is pancreatic cancer the right indication? Most of the time, they have some idea, but it is to a certain extent a guessing game, and that's why so many trials have to be run to find that indication as well. So that information at the end of the line is going to be useful. And it's not only useful of which are the drugs that are going to work. It is just as important to know what are the drugs that are not going to work. So this is a disruptive technology, and we are trying to accelerate this 12 to 18 months sales cycle, getting to biopharmaceutical companies, meeting with the right people, explaining the value that this is going to bring to their oncology pipeline. We have a highly strategic sales and marketing initiatives, and we are already selling to cross-selling to four of the top 10 biopharmaceutical companies that we have different contracts with. So we are excited about this opportunity, and we'll be happy to answer any questions. With that, I would like to introduce Bob Myers, our CFO.
Good morning. Thank you, Pamela. It's a hard act to follow. Predictive oncology truly began somewhere around 2018 in terms of our company. It was a company that originally was Skyline Medical. It was incorporated in 2002. We went public on the OTC in 2009, uplisted to NASDAQ in 2016. Realizing that the medical device industry was limited and our size was small compared to some of the giants out there, we started to look to a different direction. And that direction was in the biopharmaceutical area. And we went out and we started acquiring companies. Helomics was one of those companies, which used to be Precision Therapeutics. And they had bought them in 2016, I believe. So now we were on a new direction and we acquired some additional companies and we had some of our own companies that we developed. And now as we're into 2022, we have completed predominantly all of our research and development phase. So we are now, commercializing. So we're taking everything from PEDAL and our formulations in GMP lab that was done this year in 2022, and our 3D Culturing, so a company we acquired last year. And we are cross-selling these items to pharma, and our desire is to bring drugs and solutions to cancer to the patient. Okay, that's what we're here for, and we have a very passionate desire to do that. The company itself is very strong. We have a very solid cash position. We have a large overhang of warrants that are exercisable at a very strikeable distance from the stock that we're at now, unfortunately. And the market is tough, but we're moving and strategizing to get where we need to be. We have no debt whatsoever. And we additionally have a strong equity position. So our compliance in terms of NASDAQ is strong in all the areas. And we're working right now to take care of the price per share. Pamela talked about what this means to pharma. And it really is the dual edge for them. It's saving time, thousands of hours pre-clinical, and it is saving millions and millions of dollars. Things that were, for example, there were 1,500 cancer drugs selected for clinical trials in the past 20 years, and only 115 of those drugs were approved. There's an 8% of those cancer drugs that enter phase one clinicals are only approved by the FDA. We can improve that. We can cut the time, we can cut the cost. And then on the flip side, we enable when that drug is processed through by cutting time for the pharmaceutical companies to have an additional patent life. And that means if the pharma companies do well, they make better money. I know that's not where we're going for patients, but it means the drug is brought to market sooner, pharma is doing well, and that translates to us doing profitably as well too. Right now, there's about $650 million in average on a single cancer drug. And with that failure rate, it is just, as I said, a huge number in terms of time and dollars. Now you add AI, artificial intelligence, to the global industry. That market is going to reach about $1.1 billion over the course of, which will be roughly 20% of that will be oncology. And that is the field that we are specializing in. It's expanding at an annual rate of almost 40%. So to wrap up, we're a company that has been R&D. We're now in commercialization. That takes time. Pamela told you that we have a sales cycle of 12 to 18 months. So while we intend to show successful deals, hopefully this year and moving into next year, revenue will come over a slower portion of time through 2023, increasing through 2024 as the pharma companies validate what we do by acquiring our services. I guess where we're headed is to successfully bring new drugs to pharma, drugs that work on a quicker basis, and drugs that could reach the patient and succeed. And while we're doing that, we're going to provide strong investor confidence and bring a good return to our shareholders. So with that, Raymond, I'll open it up for question and answer.
Thanks for that. Let me sort of circle back and just give a very, very quick overview of what you just heard. So our company basically exists to drive drug discovery into drug development much more quickly, much more efficiently, at a much higher rate that for the biopharmaceutical industry. Ultimately, it's about the patient, though, right? This is all about getting the right drugs to the right patients at the right time, as soon as possible, to personalize the treatment of their therapies, primarily in oncology. It doesn't mean that we cannot apply these technologies absent the biobank or the artificial intelligence absent the biobank to other industries or other applications. But right now, it's about finding cures, finding therapies, finding modalities for cancer patients. So that continuum that was just discussed from drug discovery through drug development, the segments, the market segments that Bob referred to, the 3D modeling, GMP facility, the R&D facility, the facility in Pittsburgh that has the CLIA laboratory run by Dr. Arlette Uline, and that houses the very database that makes this all possible. So when I came into the company, I want to be very clear, since this is the 14th of November, and I came in on the 1st of November, I want you to understand that for months before that, the board and me in particular on board were looking, we did a forensic analysis of the assets of the company. And we wanted to know exactly where the value of the company lies. And it turns out, although the artificial intelligence is incredibly important to our company, and it's where we focused in the past, that is made all the more valuable and important because of access to the biobank that has been discussed a couple of times now. Prior to that, that biobank was viewed as a tool of the company, and it is a tool of the company, but in reality, it's a freestanding asset. And that asset, I'll repeat, is in excess of $400 million. This is very recent. I mean, literally in the last few months, we've realized just how powerful this is. And that biobank in and of itself has never really been properly articulated to the customer base or to the industry. So we fully anticipate that is going to open even more doors than we have right now. As Pamela and both Bob articulated, the goal is, since we have four of the top 10 of the largest biopharmaceutical companies in the world already under contract, at least working on projects with them, the idea is to, and that was for 3D modeling of large cells, for just for modeling, is to upsell within the existing customer base access to our artificial intelligence and biobank facilities and the CLIA laboratory as well. So having a CLIA laboratory means we can do not only the dry lab work with the artificial intelligence, but the wet lab work as well. We have a full staff of highly qualified technicians. Arlette is an MD pathologist. Pamela, MD, I'm sorry, PhD, MBA, I just promoted you overnight, who, by the way, comes out of Lilly. So her observations about where this is going, she was one of the people who actually did the analysis for Lilly on strategic planning for their drugs and in-licensing and out-licensing. So the idea is to put together an ideal group of people, including the board and scientific advisory board, to aggregate those people around the real opportunity with the artificial intelligence and the biobank, and to launch more quickly through the existing customer base, and then incrementally add new customers to the fold.